I have something else also that I want to mention. I mentioned this in Sunday school. 4, verse number 17. Verse number 17. This is a message that really, I'm not sure why the Lord put this on my heart, but I believe he did, so I'm just going to do the best I can to preach it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." The house of God being a reference to God's people. But then it goes on to say, "And if it first begin at us," see that? The house of God, us, the house of God is not a reference to a building, but to people, to God's house, the people of God. "And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Lord, I thank you for the services we had this past week and how they were a blessing to me, and I know a blessing to others. Thank you for those men that came and shared their heart and preached the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to put that into practice and it be something that would cause lasting change in our lives. And Lord, as we're assembled here today, if there's somebody present that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they do not know for sure that if they died today, they would be with you, I pray that you would prick their hearts and that before they leave this place, they would receive Jesus as their Savior. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Forgive me of all the ways I fail you. Help me to love you and serve you with all my heart. And please give me grace now to preach what you've put on my heart, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message today is, "What Shall the End Be?" What shall the end be? And I want to get started by saying that in the verse we just read, especially the latter part of the verse, Simon Peter, who is the author, as you can tell, of this epistle, asked his audience, he asked the recipients of this epistle a question. And to help us understand what he asked, I think we might need for just a moment to kind of dissect the question. And if you remember very much from your biology classes in high school or college, you know that when you dissect something, you open it up and you look at the individual parts of whatever it might be, like a frog, a lizard, snake, whatever the case. So when I say we're going to dissect the question, I just want us to open it up and kind of look at the different parts of the question. And it's really not that difficult of a question, but I want us to look at it again, and we're going to start at the end and kind of work our way back toward the beginning. So take a look there at verse 17 and notice he says, Peter says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The first thing that I want you to notice about the question is the gospel of God. What does Peter mean when he references here the gospel of God? Well, by now, you probably know that the word gospel means good news. So this is the good news of God he's referring to in the verse. And when you compare Scripture with Scripture, which is always the best way to interpret the Bible, you find that the gospel of God concerns God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your place right here and turn back with me for just a moment to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, let's start reading in verse number 1. Romans 1:1. The scripture says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." The gospel of God. which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, notice, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So according to this scripture, the gospel of God concerns God's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all see that? That is why on down in this same chapter in verse 9, it's referred to as the gospel of his son. You see that in verse 9. Then you look at verse number 16 in this same chapter, and it is referred to as the gospel of Christ. Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now we're not talking about three different gospels. We're talking about one gospel that is described in different ways. The gospel of God concerns his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you go on in scripture and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we've studied a number of times, you see Paul lays out there the gospel that he preached and the gospel by which people were saved. What is that gospel Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 15? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God concerns what Jesus Christ did to pay for our sins. It concerns his death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection for our justification. So that's what Peter is referring to here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 when he talks about the gospel of God. That gospel that concerns Jesus Christ who died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now let's look at something else in this question. Look at what he says, verse 17. What shall the end be of, notice, them that obey not? Them that obey not. That's the second thing I want us to think about for just a moment. And I want to say very simply, them that obey not are those who refuse during their life down here on this earth to trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them on the cross and through his burial and through his resurrection. Those are the ones that obey not the gospel of God. Those who, for whatever reason, for whatever excuse, decide during their life that they're not going to do what God said for them to do concerning his son. And when it comes to salvation, there's only one thing God tells you to do. You know what that is, right? What is God? That's why it says them that obey not the gospel. To not obey the gospel means that you refuse to do what God has told you to do when it comes to the matter of the gospel. And that means that you look at what Jesus Christ did. You look at how he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you decide for whatever reason, I'm not going to do what God tells me to do, which means you decide you're not going to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's them that obey not the gospel. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, I'm just going to read this to you for the sake of time. This is what Paul says writing to the saints there in Rome. He says, but God be thanked. Listen to this verse. But God be thanked that ye were. That was their past condition before they got saved. Ye were the servants of sin. Listen. He says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. He says, this is what you were, but God be thanked that when we came and we gave you, or when whoever it was came and gave you that gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you obeyed that gospel from the heart. And when that happened, they were saved and their lives were transformed. So them that obey not the gospel of God are those who refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for them. Now again, 1 Peter 4, 17, something else I want you to notice in this question. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The end. You see those words a lot. Like when a movie comes to a close, it'll have the end. Peter talks here about the end of them that obey not the gospel of God. When he says the end, what he's talking about is their final condition. He's talking about when their life on this earth is all said and done. They've been born, they've lived, and they've died. Their life down here is over. That's the end, the conclusion. What is their final condition? What is the final state of those who live and die and refuse to obey the gospel of God? What is their condition? That's what he's asking here. When you put all that together, this is really what you get. What will be the final condition of those who refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? When you break that thing down and you put all that stuff together, it's just that simple of a question. What will be the final condition of those who refuse to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? And I suppose that if I had to give a one-word answer, if somebody approached me and said, tell me in one word, just one word, what will be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God, I think the word I would give, and you might come up with a completely different word, but the word I would give is the word suffering. That's the word I would use. And I would use that word because when I study what the Bible says about the end of the sinner, when I study what the Bible says about the final condition of the damned, those who are forever lost, when I read and study what the Bible says in the Old and the New Testament, I see that they all have one thing in common. There is a common thread that binds all of those passages together that talk about the end of them who refuse to obey the gospel, and that common thread is suffering. In every passage, it may say it just a little bit different, it might deal with a little different angle, but they all have that same thing in common. The end for those that refuse to obey the gospel is suffering. And I want to spend just the next few minutes reminding us. I say reminding because I feel like the majority of us here are aware of what we're going to talk about. I want to spend the rest of our time reminding us of the type of suffering that people are going to experience who refuse to not obey the gospel of God. And you say, well, I'm saved. What does it have to do with me? Well, I tell you what it has to do with you. Jesus Christ has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Yes, you might be saved, and yes, you may not have to worry about the final condition that these people are going to experience. But here's my question to you. What are you doing to make sure that other people don't have to experience that suffering? So the message does apply to you. You need to think for a little while this morning. Just be reminded. We get so much in our minds. Our lives are so cluttered up nowadays. So much going on, right? So much going on that we lose perspective, we lose focus, and we get our attention on stuff that really at the end of the day doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you what matters this morning. What matters is that while I'm standing in this pulpit and you're sitting in that pew, there are people by the thousands dying and dropping off into hell. That ought to help put some things in perspective this morning. We need to be reminded from time to time of how it really is and how it's really going to be. So just a little bit of reminding this morning. Let me say first of all about this suffering, talking about the end of those that obey not the gospel. Number one, I want to say that it's going to be unimaginable suffering. Unimaginable suffering. What I mean is it's suffering that's so bad, suffering that's so horrible and hideous and hellish that it really, really is beyond what our minds can comprehend. We read about it in the Bible and we see it just like we read about the splendor and the glory of heaven. Amen. And we develop these pictures in our mind, I think often, of what heaven is going to look like, what it's going to be like to be there. But truthfully, in this body with my limited mind, I can't really comprehend just how good heaven's going to be. And the same is true when it comes to the suffering that the people who do not obey the gospel of God are going to experience. It's beyond what we can really fathom in our mind. And I believe one of the main reasons, not the only reason, one of the main reasons why this suffering is going to be so unimaginably bad is because the people are going to be burning in a fire that is never quenched. That's what the Bible says. We're talking about Scripture this morning, not the figment of some man's imagination. We're talking about the true Word of God. And in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the fire is never quenched. That means it doesn't ever go out. That means it burns all the time. And every person who dies without Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. Whenever a person dies now that's lost, they go to hell. Hell, according to the Bible, is a real place. It has a geographical location, according to the Bible. If you read your Bible, you find that hell is located in the heart of this earth right here. Below our feet this morning resides a place called hell, a real place. And right now, there are already thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that are in that place. And according to the Bible, there's going to be a whole lot more there. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. It's getting bigger to accommodate the thousands and the thousands of people that are going there every day. Hell is a real place, and in that real place, there's real fire. You read Luke 16 where that rich man opens his eyes. He lifts up his eyes in hell, and the Bible says he's tormented in this flame. He's burning. He's burning. So what are people in hell doing? I can tell you what they're doing this morning. They're burning. Right now, while we're enjoying this nice, cool fall weather outside. You got up this morning and walked out. It was nice and cool, wasn't it? Crispness in the air. It's going to probably get better and better as time goes along. You're sitting now in an air-conditioned building. When you get in your car or truck and leave, you're going to turn on that air conditioner unit. You don't have to be hot for very long. But I'm telling you, those people in hell this morning are on fire. They're on fire. They're burning. They're tormented in this flame right now. And listen, what will the end be? Those people that are in hell, the ones that will be there ultimately, will come up out of hell and they will stand at what the Bible describes as a great white throne judgment, and they will give account to God. And then they will be cast, the Bible says, into the lake of fire. You know what that is? That's out of the frying pan and into the fire. You say, what are people in the lake of fire going to do? Well, think about it. The lake of fire. You know what they're going to do? They're going to do the same thing they're doing in hell right now. They're going to burn in that place. They're going to burn in a fire that is never quenched. That's why the Bible says there will be weeping. Weeping is not just a simple sob. Weeping is when you cry unemotionally or uncontrollably. Weeping. That's why the Bible says there will be wailing. You know what a wail is, don't you? Not W-H-A-L-E, not that kind of wail, but a wail. You know what it means when it says somebody is wailing? It means they're screaming is what it means. weeping and wailing. It says they'll be gnashing of teeth. They'll be grinding their teeth because they're in such agony and torment. That's what's going on in hell right now. That's what's going to happen in the lake of fire. One word, suffering. Suffering. Real place, real people. Unimaginable suffering. Nobody's laughing. Nobody's having a good time. Nobody's partying. You hear all this nonsense. It just sickens me. And it's obviously the ploy of the devil to deceive the minds of the multitudes of millions of lost people on this globe down here. But you have Hollywood that puts out these movies and some tough guy, you know, he gets shot and he looks at this fella and, "I'll see you in hell." Like he's going to be some big shot down in hell. Or, "I'll see you down there and we'll have fun in hell." Nobody's having fun in hell this morning. Nobody's laughing and enjoying themselves. They're in torment this morning. Tomorrow they'll be in torment. When they get in the lake of fire, they'll be in torment. According to the Bible, they'll be begging for mercy, but they'll get none. They'll be begging for water, but they'll get none. Unimaginable suffering. Number two, I got to move on. A second thing that I want to say about this suffering, not only is it unimaginable, but I would call it unincluded. Unincluded suffering. And I use that word because what I mean is they'll be separated from all of the saved and totally excluded from the joy and the bliss experienced by the redeemed of God. Unincluded in any of that. In Revelation chapter 20, we're here in 1 Peter. Turn over quickly to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Just to kind of put what I'm saying in perspective. In Revelation chapter 20, at the end of this chapter is where you read about what I referenced a moment ago, the white throne judgment. Starts in verse 11 and goes to the end of the chapter. But in verse 15 of that chapter, the last verse, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now that is the end. You understand? What shall the end be? The end is they're cast into the lake of fire. Their final condition, that's where they are. But then begins in chapter 21 and goes all the way through the remainder of the book of Revelation, a description of how it's going to be for those who are saved. The Bible ends, thank God, on a positive note. Isn't that a blessing? You know why it is that when you watch a movie, you like a happy ending? And I don't understand these people that say, "I like a bad ending." I never do like a bad ending to a movie. I like a happy ending. I like it where the hero comes out on top, amen? I like it where the good guys win. That's the way I like it when I watch a movie or read a book, whatever the case. You know why we like a happy ending? Because the book of all books ends with a happy ending. The Bible ends describing how good and wonderful it's going to be for God's people when their time comes. You read it. We don't have the time to read it, but just look at all the joy and the bliss, how wonderful it's going to be. God's going to be with us. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more death, no more pain. The former things are passed away. The curse is removed. Everything is wonderful. Hallelujah. Looking forward to it. But you know who's not going to take part in any of that? Those that obey not the gospel of God. Unincluded suffering. They're not going to be a part of it. They're going to be totally left out. We sing a song, or I've heard sung many times, "Will the circle be unbroken?" Well, I can tell you that for many it's already been unbroken. Or it's already been broken, I'm sorry. For many more it's going to be broken. There are people in hell right now whose loved ones they'll never see again unless they happen to see them at the judgment. Because they died lost. They're in hell. But they got some saved loved ones that are going to be with Jesus forever and ever. That circle is broken. It's going to be broken many more times. These people are going to be unincluded in what many of their family members will enjoy for eternity. They're going to be burning in the fire, and their saved loved ones are going to enjoy the bliss of heaven forever and ever. That's the way it's going to be. Not included in it. How many of you like to get left out? There's some things that go on in this life that I'm glad I get left out of. But there's some things I don't like to be left out of. I got invited to go to a bird shoot Friday, and I didn't get to go. I didn't like it. I like to go bird hunting. I got excluded from that. There's other things that are so much fun. And you see other people getting to do those things, you think, man, I'd like to get in on some of that. It's enjoyable. You want to be included. I can tell you while those people are there burning and burning and burning, knowing where they could be. Can you imagine the feeling they're going to have, knowing they'll never be a part of that, ever? Never get to see any of the sights of heaven, never get to hear any of the sounds of heaven, never get to experience any of the joys of heaven, never get to be a part of any of that. All they get, this is what they hear, weeping and wailing, people screaming at the top of their lungs, people crying out for mercy, people begging for water. That's what they'll hear. That's the end for those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unincluded suffering. Let me give you one last thing here. For the sake of time, I'm going to move on. I want to say this about the suffering. Not only will it be unimaginable and unincluded, but it will be uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. What am I talking about? I'm talking about how it's going to go on forever. 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 10,000 years. 10 million years. 10 trillion years. You hearing me? We're talking about reality this morning, folks. Reality. It never stops. Let me show you one last scripture. We'll be done. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Say, I'm not going, Brother Keith. Praise God. I'm glad you're not. What are you doing to help other people not go? Everybody in your family saved today, are they? Everybody in your family ready to meet God today, are they? Everybody you work with ready to meet God today, are they? Everybody that's your acquaintance, everybody you work with, are they ready to meet God? Do you know? What are you doing to prevent them going to this place we're talking about? Having this final condition that we're talking about this morning. Revelation 14, the Bible says this, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Have y'all ever smelt brimstone? It has a smell like sulfur. Y'all smelled sulfur before. Smells like a rotten egg almost, doesn't it? In hell, in the lake of fire, according to the Bible, the people will have all of their senses. All of their senses. They'll be able to see. They'll be able to hear. They'll be able to feel. And they'll even be able to smell. Can you imagine to be in this fire burning with that horrible stench all around, living for eternity in a place that smells like rotten eggs? That's what it is. Fire. Because look at it now. It says he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Not just the fire is going to torment him, but the brimstone is going to torment him as well. What a horrible stench to have to live in. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Look at it. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now listen, that is talking specifically about people during the tribulation who take the mark of the beast. But what you read there applies to everybody who dies without Jesus Christ. Tormented in the fire and brimstone forever and ever, there's no rest, day or night. You know, I got to thinking about it. If a person only had to burn in the lake of fire for, you know, a year, that's doable. You know what I'm saying? If they only had to burn in the lake of fire for 10 years, 100 years, at least. I mean, if it was 1,000 years or 10,000, at least as you're burning there in that thing, you got some hope in your mind. You're looking ahead. I may have 9,000 more years to go, but in 9,000 years, I'm going to get out of this mess, and I'm not going to have to smell it, and I'm not going to have to feel it. I'm going to be away from all of this in 9,000 more years. You would at least have some hope in your heart. You know what they don't have in hell today? What they will never have in hell, and what they'll not have in the lake of fire? No hope. They'll be there knowing that the condition they're in, their end, what shall be the end? They'll know, once it's all said and done, this is where I'm going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without any let up whatsoever. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you saved? Do you know this morning that if you drew your last breath, that you'd be with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't have that assurance, can I say this? I promise you, I mean not to hurt your feelings. You're a fool if you leave here without trusting Christ as your Savior. Amen. Why take a chance on that when right now, you could receive Jesus Christ and know you'll be with him forever? And listen, if you are saved, what are you doing? What are you doing to help those people around you not go to the place that we talked about this morning? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, the name that every knee will bow to, the name that every tongue will confess. We thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help those of us that are saved already to have a greater burden for those that are unsaved. Give us more courage to be a bold witness for you. Help us to keep in mind always that there is a real place called hell. Real people go, and there's a real lake of fire in the future. Lord, help us, I pray. And if there is somebody here that's not saved, please, Lord, please help them to get saved this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.